I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, June 7th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. What shall we say? What shall we say? Is it the decline of the West as Oswald Spengler saw it, which was something that was being accomplished? The Wikipedia entry for the decline of the West reads, Spengler also presents the idea of Muslims, Jews, and Christians, as well as the Persian and Semitic forebears being magian, Mediterranean cultures of antiquity, such as ancient Greece and Rome being Apollonian, and modern Westerners being Faustian. According to Spengler, the Western world is ending, and we are witnessing the final season, the winter of Faustian civilization. In Spengler's depiction, Western man is a proud but tragic figure because, while he strives and creates, he secretly knows the actual goal will never be reached. Isn't that interesting? So, where are we today in America? And you know, the thing that keeps echoing in my mind as far as this is concerned is Spengler, again, from the Wikipedia entry, I've mentioned this before. Spengler sees blood as the only power strong enough to overthrow money, currently the dominant power of our age. And so we've seen the transition, as I've said, you know, from the time, around the time that Perspectives of World History was published back in 1922, you know, of course, around the same time, we had all kinds of other fun things being published, including Bernays' Propaganda, and so, Faustian forces. Most Americans don't I don't know, children are not born Faustian. I mean, you know, there is the age of reason or understanding and those kinds of things. However, you know, children are not born Faustian. It is a socially engineered condition. We've talked on this broadcast many times and at length about how we in America, we'll say, are victims of torture and abuse. And it comes primarily through the screens. And I've encouraged folks to maybe dispense with the screens to some extent, to, you know, entirely, depending on what makes sense for you. And we'll talk about some of that stuff today, I think. We're looking for a thing or two. Okay. Polly St. George, Amazing Polly, did a couple of things recently. And a couple of videos in particular. I want to focus on. Oh. One video, she talked about her experience at the bank, and these a few of these videos kind of go together if you follow them. How Evil Caught the World, Eugenics is Back, but she talks in that video about Andrew Lobachevsky's political ponderology. A Small Number of Psychopaths Control Society is another one. And then there was this video, Today There Were Demons, My Own Included. And she talks about her experience at a bank. And basically, she talks about how you know, and this is an interesting thing. Political ponderology is definitely an aspect of the discussion. But, you know, I've sort of focused on coming from the angle of Hayek's Road to Serfdom and books like Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men, Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, these kinds of books. But there is a specific, you know, Ephesians 6 tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. And it manifests in a variety of ways, one of which is the screen. But, you know, in Polly's video, Today There Were Demons, My Own Included, back in April, she talked about some of this, and she kept referring to Father Malachi Martin, and who had performed many exorcisms, and she said, you know, maybe I'll end this video with a few clips. I'd like to play those clips and think about what he says, particularly regarding imagination, in a variety of ways. You know, this is why people say, why don't you like C.S. Lewis? How can you? I think C.S. Lewis, you know, his writing, though from a slightly different angle, is very much not, you know, I don't find it much different from Lewis Carroll's kind of stuff. Or L. Frank Baum. And so on and so on, you know, Roald Dahl. And I've talked about the storytellers, I've talked about suspension of disbelief, but Malachi Martin gives you more insight. Why the storytelling? Why messing with your imagination? It's not just suspension of disbelief. So, let's begin today and the week with that, shall we? Give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
Getting at your faith, how does he undermine it?
Let's do that right now.
Okay. The way he does it is as follows. Remember, there's a cardinal rule this this idiot angel must observe, and it is that he can only touch your senses. He cannot touch your soul unless you've given it to him, unless you're possessed. And even then he has difficulties. It's a roundabout process for him. All he can do is enter your soul through the normal means. What are the normal means? It's this. You have five senses, your whole body, okay? And then you have inside you a thing called imagination. It's a faculty. And that faculty has pictures. And you have a memory which recalls those pictures, okay? Now, we get our normal pictures. You're sitting in this room, and if you look over to that wall there, you see a mirror, a beveled mirror. And if you look over there, there are blue books and brown books and yellow books and photographs and busts, heads of people that live here. And there are icons hanging on the wall, and there are candlesticks. All those images have already gone into your imagination, are stored away there. And with a good memory, you can pick them all out and recall them all. That's the way you get images. And because you have a mind that thinks and you have me talking at you, you'll understand what these icons mean, what those books tell, and what those candlesticks are used for, and who are these people whose busts are up on the shelf there. So it's through images, though. Now, if he can implant images on your imagination, they're transmitted to your mind and soul. That's the only way they go. So he will plant firm images on me unless I'm careful. That's why one must watch one's imagination and one's eyes. Because if you go out in the street out there, but at the present moment, and see a mother eviscerating her baby, you will not take your eyes off it. And it will be a memory you will never lose. If you turn on the boob tube, as we call it in the States, the television, and you see some obscene action between two people, male, female, female, whatever, the garbage we see nowadays, the pornography, you see that, and you follow all the details, it is in you. You have the image, and that is a ready tool for him to suggest to you various things that you could do. He asks a question. He never answers the question of the possessed person. Why do you come here to bother me? We've done nothing to you. Leave us alone, please, Martin. Leave us alone, please. What do you want? Do you want women? Do you want money? Do you want food? Go away and have it. Leave us alone. What are you doing here? Never ask a question. Say, who are you? And you keep at it and you find their names. They all have a name. Ugly names. Sinister names. Sardonic names. Names that laugh at human beings. Names that make a joke of the loveliest things in the human body and the human mind. Always this awful, dirty touch thing. And once you do that, you have them nailed. Because then they obey that name. They are answer that name. And then you proceed to find out who sent them, how do they come here, when. What's your speciality? What do you do? And it's like a dog trying to get away from you when you're after them. It's like a dog. And it'll bite your hand. It'll bite you mortally if you're not careful. The name that the devils in exorcism use for Christ, they never say Christ. They always say the nameless one. The great weakling. The milquetoast. Always hurling insults at him. The carpenter from Nazareth. You can force them to say Christ, but then they're going to take it out on you. It's, yeah, I did it once, and they punish you. And it's not a nice punishment. At all. And it's, if you really love a woman as a man, or if a woman loves a man as her husband, once they give that love, you can't do the same. It's only done once, really once. And then you haven't got this to give. You give a part of yourself. There's this peculiar transmission of the soul in its fruitful capacity. Now, an exorcist has to do that. Every time you do an exorcism or assist at an exorcism, you diminish your what will I call it? It's something like that if you worked so hard with your arm that you strained it beyond, it will never get back to its original pristine condition of being a good strong arm or a good strong foot. Some vitality, some spiritual vitality goes away. And exorcists I know when they chat, they normally sort of speak about it as that it's a part of them God has taken away and have to wait till they die.
There you go. But I want to focus on the imagination. So this is, according to Father Malachy Martin, this is to sort of hijack your imagination is a means by which to do nefarious things, demonic things, which I think ties directly back to Spengler's thoughts on the decline of the West and the winter of the Faustian civilization, which has been entirely engineered, by the way. Entirely. It could be different, especially with all of the mediums at our disposal. Oh, but wait, mediums are not used for that. Mediums are used for, you know, spellbinding and so forth. Speaking of Lobachevsky's political ponderology and, for that matter, Pauly's other video, How Evil Caught the World. It's fascinating to watch, you know. If you have paid attention to the work of Del Bigtree, for example, and listen to some of the interviews that he's given over the last year, there are a few folks who have said, I'm not trying to exercise hyperbole or literary device. I'm being very literal and very conservative when I say this, but this is how it happened. This is how a society, you know, this is how ordinary men, in the terms of Christopher Browning's book, this is how ordinary men turned evil, or Lobachevsky's Political Ponderology, or so many other books that tell us, you know, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. Remember in Chapter 10 how, you know, paraphrased sort of Cliff's Notes summary of the chapter is, when Hayek begins, he says, essentially, we are encouraged to think, sure, Nazi Germany, because Hitler, you know, he was an evil dictator, and so people will say, not so fast, he wasn't entirely evil. No, but he wasn't entirely not evil either. But then that, I guess, validates Solzhenitsyn, who wrote that the line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every man, and who is willing to cut out a piece of his own heart. So we're encouraged to think, sure, Nazi Germany because Hitler, and Hayek corrects our erroneous thinking and essentially says, actually, sure, Hitler because Nazi Germany. But they didn't come to that entirely of themselves. I mean, they did in a sense, they chose, as we're choosing in America. But it was not entirely of their own doing. It was not entirely of their own volition. So it's a fascinating It's a fascinating thing, and it's a fascinating thing to watch, and we are watching it unfold here in America. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Sent myself a link of, or I sent myself an email of a collection of links of things this morning, earlier this morning, just a collection of things that I had seen, thought to sort of touch on, and that email has disappeared. Really don't know. I mean, it has disappeared. I don't see it in my sent mail. I don't see it in drafts or in an inbox or a spam folder. It disappeared. I'm not sure how that happens, but I'll see if I can find that. So there is you know, evidence of this social engineering. Just a couple of interesting little things, I think. So there are folks who have commented on, you know, several people have come to the conclusion, or shall we say speculation or conjecture. I think we should say conclusion, but whatever. That whatever exactly is happening, it is, you know, the whether COVID itself is a bioweapon, or the vaccine so-called is a bioweapon, or if they are together, a binary bioweapon, or if there are other ingredients in that cocktail, which there probably are, because remember, you know, as the Project for a New American Century told us back in September of 2000, what was it, page 51, I think. No, 60. Biological warfare that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. Biological warfare may, you know, that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. Now that, speaking of political ponderology, that's pretty evil, pretty sinister to even write such a thing. So there's, you know, folks have come to the speculation or conclusion, conjecture, that I mean, even Dr. Mike Eden, former vice president and chief science officer, allergy and respiratory research unit, or respiratory if you're British, Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, even he has speculated that, you know, it seems like a depopulation tool, weapon, agenda. And there have been other interesting conversations, you know, talked about Journeyman Pictures' perspectives on the pandemic and, you know, that series and how it was scrubbed from the YouTubes early on. Some of the interesting things that folks like Newt Vikowski had said. A lot of folks are coming to this. What other conclusion do you come to? It's astonishing that this is coming out right out into plain view. And that you have top level folks. There's also the interview with Erin Marie Olszewski, the nurse from what's the hospital in Elmhurst, right? In New York, the epicenter of the epicenter, where basically that's what she said. Well, it seems like a depopulation agenda. this stuff coming right out into the open, the mainstream. So there are some other interesting fun facts. USAfacts.org is a very mainstream pedestrian source of things. They put out emails of a publication once in a while. Last month, they sent something out, a detailed look at how government programs impact society. I wonder, is the ghost of Bertrand Russell at work? The impact of science on society, the impact of government programs on society. And there are some fascinating little fun facts, you know. Average Medicare costs per beneficiary are over four times higher than they were in 1970, accounting for inflation. So inflation-adjusted numbers, four times higher. Back to the interview with Aaron Marie Olszewski. You know, she talked about those people, and she said the care, essentially, you know, paraphrasing, she said that, you know, she'd been in war-torn hospitals and the care was better there than it was at Elmhurst. And the people they were treating primarily were primarily, what do you say, low income, don't have their special benefits or whatever, so Medicare, Medicaid. So if you're a George Bernard Shaw and you think that these people can no longer justify their existence, maybe it's time to execute them in a kindly enough manner, like putting them on a ventilator or something. And you listen to someone like Aaron Marie Olszewski, and that's exactly what was happening right out in plain view. Now suddenly euthanizing folks and allowing residents to experiment euthanizing folks is something that we've normalized in a sense. You know, we've made the practice generally acceptable in a certain context and in the medical community, no less, setting aside the controversy, you know, of allopathic medicine and how the Rockefeller contingent was instrumental in promoting the charlatans as real medicine and casting real medicine, shall we say, as witchcraft. The witch doctors are now, you know, vaunted. Setting all that aside, it's really astonishing to think that, you know, the Mengelas of our day have sort of institutionalized and normalized the practice of euthanizing folks right out on plain sight. And so, whither are we being led, comrades? Episode 9, The Epicenter Nurse, a conversation with Aaron Marie Olszewski. Interviewed by John Kirby, New York City, May 12, 2020. That's the one I'm talking about. You can find it on BitChute. There is that section over at radical.org. RATICAL.org. And David Ratcliffe has, I think, all of them, all of the interviews collected there, which is great. and some, you know, a pretty, well, for that video in particular, a pretty extensive description from the video. For example, to the point that I'm making, here's the description. Is it the same over? Nope, not the same. So here is part of the description from David Ratcliffe's website, radical.org. Again, RATICAL.org. Nurse turned investigative journalist Erin Marie Olszewski has been on the inside in two radically different settings these past few months. Two hospitals, one private, the other public. One in Florida, the other in New York. And not just any New York public hospital, but the epicenter of the epicenter, quote unquote, itself, the infamous Elmhurst in Donald Trump's Queens. As a result of these diametrically opposed experiences, she has the ultimate perspective on the pandemic, quote unquote. She has been where there have been the most deaths attributed to COVID-19 and where there have been the least. Those who see and hear Erin's astonishing report and her incredible undercover recordings will learn people who have tested negative multiple times for COVID-19 are being called COVID confirmed and then being put on ventilators. Ventilators are likely the leading cause of death in the pandemic. Sedatives and paralytics combined with barotrauma from pressurized air kill 90% of those vented at Elmhurst and by extension much of the world. Nosocomial in-hospital infection is the main vector of transmission. At Elmhurst, COVID rule-out and COVID confirmed, quote-unquote, are housed in the same rooms. PPE is not changed between patients. Rooms are not properly or even marginally cleaned after COVID deaths. Isolated from family, patients at Elmhurst who do not have, do not resuscitate DNR orders are being treated as though they did. Nurses were told not to perform CPR on at least one full code patient in violation of their oaths and licenses. And so what happens when you do that to most people? It is a gateway, essentially. You know, you're doing the same thing that you would do if there was a DNR order, but without the DNR order. And so what does that do in the average person's mind, in the mind of the unwashed masses, if you will? What does it do? It is conscripting people to evil. People who have sworn oaths to protect their most vulnerable fellow man. You are conscripting them to evil. Well, you know, what's the difference? Your mind, that is a classic double bind. And how is the double bind reconciled? You know, you're creating a bit of schizophrenia in the person's mind. Well, and there are those forces that will try to rationalize this away. Because the question will be asked, you know, some will say, well, you know, it's the same as if we had a DNR order, and the question will be asked, but we don't. There is no DNR order, so why are we doing this? How can we justify this? Well, it's the same thing. So there is a conflict. How is it reconciled? Continuing. I mean, in other words, how does the average person with a conscience, at least beforehand, how do they reconcile it for their own mental well-being? You're a person who has spent your entire professional life trying to help people, and then something like this happens. How do you maintain your sanity? How do you sleep at night without wanting to jump off a bridge? And the end result is that many are conscripted to evil. to sort of anesthetize their troubled conscience. Conscience says, well, you know what? If you're not going to listen to me, I'm checking out. I'm going to go eat a sandwich. Let me know when you're done with all this nonsense. Last bullet point, delayed treatment. So those who see and hear Aaron's astonishing, important, incredible undercover recordings will learn delayed treatment due to the government mandate to stay inside and the government recommendation to not seek early outpatient help. Remember that? Who was it who called recently and we talked about that? I forget who was it that called and mentioned Dr. Peter McCullough, and we had a kind of an extended conversation about that. And Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, he's the guy. In fact, you can go on C-SPAN and find that user clip. Outpatient COVID care. Remember the four pillars? And he says, we totally missed this one. So delayed treatment due to the government mandate. And again, this is happening right out in plain view for all the world to see. And the vast majority of the unwashed masses, though they seem to sort of be catching on, and people say, well, hopefully, you know, they're not talking about this. Because the prospect of the evil that has beset us is terrifying to most people. Somebody should do something. Yes, somebody should. Each one of us should choose in the moments of opportunity we are given not to give place to evil. Yeah, but that means I might, well, you know, Pastor Martin Niemöller's words perhaps come to mind. You know? If you're not saying something when you're seeing something, to borrow from DHS, first they came. First they came for the socialists, the trade unionists, the Jews, the communists, etc., etc. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. So, you know, that's how it happens. And everyone says, little by little, I mean, I keep seeing more and more ads for the real ID in all kinds of, you know, everywhere, every state. By 2023, you better have that done. You know what? Why carry a card around with you? Why don't we just stick it in behind your ear somewhere or something? We'll just implant it in you, and then you won't lose your card. Won't that be great? All right, so concluding. Delayed treatment due to the government mandate to stay inside and government recommendation to not seek early outpatient help, combined with the restriction in New York and elsewhere on promising, even proven therapies during the early stages of illness, massively compounds the death rate. Again, Peter McCullough is as published and peer-reviewed as a person you can find. Why is he not the expert we're listening to? He is legitimately, I think, someone we could call an expert. Extensively published. Extensively peer-reviewed. Isn't that science? If peers can review one another's work in an unbiased sort of fashion without manipulation or coercion, and it stands up to the scientific method, then and someone has gone through that process many times, wouldn't we call that person an expert? I think we would. Why are we not listening to Dr. Peter McCullough? The world has heard a great deal. Um from Peter Hotez. Vaccines did not cause Rachel's autism. Why not Dr. Peter McCullough? All right, let's go to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome. Good morning.
Hey, Chris. Hey. Oh, by the way, you do a very good Shaw, by the way. I thought that was very good. Got that whole nasal thing down.
You know? And
the condescension. Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm.
If you can't justify your existence, which is what is it? Open Season? What's a Shaw? I'm going to do what you've been doing lately and a reference to a cartoon. I digress.
By the way, that code situation in the hospital, that can be a little tricky, but if you know you should be doing chest compressions and the doc tells you not to, you know, you should be calling a code. You call a code anyway, say, not your call, doc. This is not a DNR patient. You know, we're supposed to, code them. Because I'll tell you, and like, if you have, you know, make sure you have a witness there. It's like, no, this is a patient, you know, you say, because inevitably all kinds of people come running. You've got a room full, you got to send people away. Because there's this flood of people comes in and the code is called. And you say, look, this, you know, if you stand there and say, this patient is not DNR, you know, we have to code this patient. And nobody's going to get you fired or anything. Or say, if you got fired, it'd be probably about the best thing that could happen to you because it would be the gateway to a very lucrative retirement.
Well, it's an interesting thing because, I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I can imagine in that environment the peer pressure. And in a frantic situation like that and the environmental or peer pressure might be overwhelming.
If you worked in a hospital before, it's upsetting. It's not that frantic. You know, you're expediting. You're trying. You've done it before. This is not, you know, not a first time thing. You know, we had a code one time when I was in a psych hospital where they don't happen that often. You know, and it's like you got three psychiatrists come running. They're all doctors, and they stand there looking, waiting for the nurses to take the lead. It's like, oh, thanks, guys. You know, it's like, okay, get out of the way. What was next? Oh, I tell you, speaking of authors and weird things happening, you know, all this stuff in the economy, I had some errands to run, and I had to go to Home Depot and the food store, and they both have these signs up that say, abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Huh. Like, literally?
Oh, come on. From Dante's Inferno.
Right, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't think it was funny. I thought that was pretty funny.
It is funny. But, you know, I could see it literally happening.
Oh, abandon all
airports. The airports are telling people to report people who are not wearing masks to the police. Find a local, find a police, airport police officer and report people not wearing masks. So, you might be Al-Qaeda if you don't have a mask on.
Well, that's been going through, like, the British Commonwealth countries. Australia, for some strange reason, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada have all just been awful in this regard. Very draconian, you know. With Australia, I think, and New Zealand being the worst, but Canada, you know, Trudeau's just a wackadoodle, you know. He's sort of like a Governor Gruesome analog. Well, actually worse. Trudeau's actually worse. But it is crazy. But abandon all hope of building that new deck on the house because it's going to cost four times what materials are four times what they were 6 months ago. The COVID thing, once I finally feel concerned about one thing about the COVID thing. Mike Yaden, when he first came out, he was speaking out against top-off vaccines or follow-up and top-off vaccines, and he seemed more concerned about the subsequent vaccines than the initial ones. And this makes me think of Bill Gates you know, when he talked about, you know, how bad Pandemic 2.0 is going to be.
Yeah, right.
I guess he's going to have us all beta tested for him. You know? We aren't going to do these silly animal beta tests. We'll just have the general public, you know, be our beta testers. He's practiced at that.
And very, very practiced. And people, you can even tell them that, and they're still signing up for it and, you know, clamoring for it. It's astonishing.
We're in an unusual period right now because I don't know about you, but I know a number of people. I mean, we're seeing the number of vaccine deaths and different, you know, the very different types of things that are occurring. We have this question of transmission from vaccinated to unvaccinated people. But people are dying by the tens of millions. And I kind of think right now that they won't. I think they're going to see, you know, so we're going to see people die, and we're going to see lots of chronic illnesses or acute illnesses that respond to treatment.
Yeah, interesting thought. I'd like to talk more about that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's, well, the first hour of today's broadcast this morning, this Monday. Glenn, could you repeat that last thing you said and then explain what you mean, please?
Sure. Well, first, I'm a little leery of proclaiming that everybody's going to die, you know, from the vaccine. We're in this interim period now where, you know, we heard people like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny saying they expect this the thing to ramp up more quickly, like a sort of a parabolic curve going exponential, whatever, in the 4 to 14 month range. Mm-hmm. I don't know about it, but I know a number of people who've been had full quote fully vaccinated for several months now who are not experiencing as yet any adverse events. And they assume everything's good. Now, there has been an increase in the number of deaths, but it's arithmetic, not geometric. So people are going to die. But I think what we're more likely to see is, a proliferation of chronic illnesses, a worsening or, comorbidity, people who already have tendencies toward things. We're seeing, see some of these clotting disorders and things like that, or other, autoimmune type chronic disorders or acute disorders that respond to treatment, such as the carditis that we're seeing so far, nosebleeds, uterine bleeding, sometimes even cerebral vein sinus thrombosis, stuff like that. So these things can be very serious, but I don't think they want to kill off people in the multiple tens of millions. They have to titrate. They have to control. That would create too much of a backlash. And if too many people died, it's actually a biomass problem. I mean, they have bulldozers digging, 20-foot, 20-30-foot deep mass graves out in the middle of Nebraska or something, or wherever, any state. And,
everyone's getting cremated these days, so it doesn't matter anyway. Just kidding.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, because I don't know if you remember during the initial COVID outbreak, there was talk about, the skies of Shanghai smelling of the burning of the corpses, and they ordered 40 new crematoriums, and there were, burning bodies as fast as they could day and night, and the air was fouled. And, I think cremation on that type of scale is untenable. If you're talking tens of millions, the only solution would be really huge bulldozer dug mass graves all over the place,
and scenario that you outline is much more plausibly deniable, that it's deniable that it's being engineered somehow,
right? And they
it
want
sounds
the system
perfectly that, plausibly natural,
and they want the control system in place, so they they don't want things too out of control because they want to control it. And then Gates wants to, sounds like they have something waiting in the wings with Pandemic 2.0, where they, it would be easy to re-trigger the social distancing and the mask thing. But they have to titrate the rate of the death. They have to control the rate of the death so that it doesn't cause too much disorder in the society.
Manage chaos. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Don't want it to get too chaotic. They can't have too many dead bodies, and they get too much of a backslash, too much of a reaction, and have the people coming up with pitchforks and torches to to
absolutely
hang. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you
absolutely
go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with your assessment.
Well, thank you. I rarely hear that.
Thanks, Glenn.
Okay, take care. Take care.
Much appreciated. Bye-bye. That'll do it for the first hour. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
guys handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.